Lord, may the faith grow within us. That's the theme of Pope Benedict's one-day pastoral visit Sunday to the tiny Republic of San Marino, nestled in the midst of Italy on the eastern side of the Apennine mountain range. The approximately 40-mile-wide stretch of territory is one of just a handful of city-states in Europe, the sort of political units that made up much of the continent throughout the centuries. Like Lesotho and Vatican City, which of course finds itself smack in the heart of the Eternal City, it is one of just three states to be completely surrounded by another country. Pope Benedict's visit coincides with the 29th anniversary of his predecessor, Pope John Paul II's, historic visit, and on the heels of a two-day apostolic journey to Croatia in early June, where he celebrated the first National Day for the Catholic family. Considered the world's fifth smallest state, San Marino can trace its origins back to 301 AD, when, as chance has it, Croatia played a certain role in its foundation. According to legend, it was founded by a Christian stonemason named Marinus from the Croatian coast of Dalmatia. He was later made a saint for his defense of the faith in times of persecution.
I am proud of coming from San Marino, although that's a very small republic.
Passionist Father Ciro Benedettini, Deputy Director of the Holy See's Press Office, hails from San Marino. I spoke to him ahead of Pope Benedict's journey to the Republic Sunday.
The Pope on Sunday is going to San Marino, and I think that there are two peculiarities. At first, this is a visit to a diocese, a special diocese because it covers the territory of this small, independent, full-fledged republic, although small, and a portion of the territory in Italy. So that's an interstate, international diocese within Italy, because San Marino is an enclave in Italy.
Somewhat like Vatican City State.
Yes, a bit larger than the Vatican City State, 60 square kilometers and 30,000 people. That's a village, but that's a full-fledged state. Member of the United Nations, member of the, not of the United Europe. So that's very strange because we San Marinesi, as we say in Italian, in Italy are foreigners, extra-communitarian, because San Marino does not yet, perhaps, belong to the United Europe.
On Pope Benedict's busy Sunday schedule, a big mass at the Serravalle Stadium, visits with local church leaders and religious, including Bishop Luigi Negri of San Marino Montefeltro, an official meeting with members of the government, civil authorities, and diplomatic corps, a visit to the local cathedral, and a meeting with young people from the diocese before his return to the Vatican Sunday night.
So as a visit to a diocese, the Pope goes to a diocese to confirm the faith of the people living in the diocese, to encourage in living the charity, the love of God, to encourage. San Marino is an old country, an old Christian country. So the faith is more a tradition than something really effect of life. So I guess the Pope is encouraging our people to live the faith, to read concretely the faith. And that's why you will celebrate a Mass in a stadium in Serravalle, which is a portion of San Marino. And then in the afternoon, he will cross the border, goes to Italy, and in Penabili will meet the youth of the diocese. But there is another peculiarity, because there's also a visit to the state. Is an official state visit to the Republic of San Marino. In the afternoon, he will go to the public palace, as we call the government palace in San Marino. He will meet the two regent captains. The peculiarity of San Marino is that we don't have only an head of state, we have two head of states, two people, and we call them regent captains. but they last only 6 months. They change every 6 months, 1st of April, 1st of October. And when the parliament elects the two head of states, elects also the judges of the two captains, because after the 6 months, they will trial whether they have abided by the rules of the Republic, and they have done the good of the Republic. So very, very strange. The judges, for instance, must be foreigners, mostly are Italian. Even the chief of the police, of the gendarmerie, must be foreigners, because San Marino is small. So in order to ensure that justice is done in the right way, and not, you know, because of friendship, clans, kinship, and so on. So what is important, in my opinion, this visit to San Marino, this is a very small country, the smallest and oldest republic in the world. I guess that if the Pope has accepted that, this state visit to republic, is because he wants to invite the world to think about globalization. Seems strange, but it is not, in my opinion. Globalization tends to uniform the behavior. It tends to build up big societies, everything big. San Marino is small. In this way, I guess that the Pope wants to tell the world and to tell San Marino that even the small ones are important, that globalization should not crash, the differences should not eliminate the differences in our society, but respect the differences, respect the right to life of the small ones, as San Marino is.
Pope Benedict recently went to Croatia at the beginning of June, where he was bringing a message for families and for young people, asking them to be courageous witnesses in this time of de-Christianization, almost, of Europe, to really be witnesses to their Catholic faith. Is he going to be, you know, talking about that sort of thing in San Marino too? And is San Marino, you were mentioning before, it's not part of the European Union, but is it going in that direction?
Yes. Yes, San Marino is named after a saint. It's not a theocratic state, but, you know, it is named after a saint. So it's a Catholic country. The two ruling captains, when they are elected, they have to go to the cathedral and bless the relic of the saint. So there is the ceremonial is tied to many Christian traditions. But the problem is that San Marino recently has become very, very rich. Now there is a big problem with Europe, because Europe, you know, tends to impose its ruling also on San Marino, being so small, obviously. But it has been very, very rich in the past. And in that period, the last 15, 20 years, some of the people of San Marino, although they have abided the tradition, the Christian tradition, they did not live their Christian life recently. So I'm sure that the Pope is going to say that you must go back to your roots. If you want to overcome the problems and the difficulties, even the economic problems that you have now, you have to find the resources in your roots, in your Christian life. Obviously, it will talk about family, because family is in crisis also in San Marino, as it is in Italy and almost everywhere. I guess that the message that the Pope will give to the people of San Marino, or has given to the people of San Marino, is almost the same that is given to all countries in Europe.
Now, San Marino used to be in the territories which were part of the Papal States,
yes,
wasn't it? How far back does this history go, this link in to the Vatican, in a sense?
Yeah. Anyway, according to the legend, this is a legend, San Marino goes back to the 4th century. According to the legend, San Marino was founded the 1st of January of 300. And when we have something official in San Marino, beside the date, the official date, 2011, we put 1711 DFR, dalla Fondazione della Repubblica, from the foundation of the Republic. But this is legend. Really, San Marino was a comune, a sort of a city-state in Middle Ages, in the 13th century. Our status, we don't have a constitution, go back to that period, 13th century. For at least four centuries, San Marino has lived within the Papal State. So obviously it had to have a close relationship with the Pope. Now San Marino has his ambassador to the Holy See.
And in fact, one of the former ambassadors was the dean of the diplomatic corps.
Right. That's right. Not now, but he was the dean. And the Holy See has a nuncio in San Marino. He's the same nuncio as in Italy, but he has these two hats, as we say.
And where is San Marino going? Are you? Do you ever get back there? You must. It's not that far from Rome. Do you go visit family there and get the feel of in what direction the Republic is going?
Yeah, San Marino. I think that the direction is to become a full member of the United Europe. That's almost impossible for such a small state to be detached from the United Europe, being surrounded by the United Europe and having to accept almost all the rules of the United Europe. Obviously, we are very proud of our independence, and we would like to keep it, as much of it as it is possible. So I think that in the future we will have an European passport, because now we have a different passport than the Italian one.
I hadn't thought about that, actually. But so when you travel in the European Union, then you pull out your San Marino passport.
You know, in Europe it's not a problem, because they all know that San Marino exists. But when you go abroad, for instance, when I went to Korea, I was kept all to half an hour in the airport because they wanted to check whether San Marino existed. And at the end, they told me, where is it? Is it in Africa?
Well, I've had the same thing happen when I was traveling with a group of bishops who were traveling in the Holy Land and had Vatican passports. There was a lot of going back and forth between offices to try to figure out Vatican City State.
Yeah, more or less is the same problem. But anyway, we are proud of being of San Marino.
Okay, thanks so much. Well, San Marino is so small it shouldn't come as a surprise to most of us. Many here in Italy itself don't know the state is an independent republic. Come to think of it, I forgot to ask Father Ciro if he was going to be with the Holy Father on Sunday. I'm sure as a proud San Marinese, he certainly would like to have been there. But I guess my query will have to wait, at least for now. So a very warm thanks there to Father Ciro Benedettini, Deputy Director of the Holy See's Press Office, for taking time out of his busy day to tell us more about his home.